Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What up? It's the Crossover Pod Friday edition. Howard Beck, senior writer for Sports Illustrated. The NBA draft is in the books. Free agency is on the horizon. All of the offseason madness is starting to unfold. And I promise, Mannix and I will get to all the latest comings and goings and rumors and speculation and all the transactions, all of it, on the Tuesday crossover in a few days. But today, some very special guests on the Friday edition of the crossover: Giannis Antetokounmpo, the two-time MVP, the Finals MVP, 2021 NBA champion, is here along with his mom, Veronica, and his three brothers, Thanasis, Kostas, and Alex, to discuss the new movie about their family's journey. It's called Rise. It's on Disney Plus. It's a wonderful, very moving film. Got to see a screener earlier this week. I highly recommend it. Really enjoyable. Got to spend a little time with the family via Zoom this week as part of their promotional tour. And that conversation is later in today's pod. But first up, a reunion of sorts. I first profiled Scoot Henderson, who became the youngest player ever to join the G League Ignite, one of the youngest to turn pro ever, last fall in Sports Illustrated. And this time next year, Scoot will be one of the top players taken in the 2023 NBA draft, projected as a top three, maybe even top two. The guy's going to be a star. He is certainly going to be the top point guard off the board next June. Scoot was in town in New York this week doing some work around this week's NBA draft, interviewing prospects for social media, for the league, and doing all kinds of stuff for the NBA, and just kind of soaking up the scene and getting a preview of what his life will be like this time next year. So we got a chance to sit down, chance to catch up on everything that's happened since he and I last met and since my story back in SI last fall. Scoot has signed a massive deal with Puma, reportedly the largest ever for a player who's not yet draft eligible. He was in a movie, Shooting Stars, which is about LeBron James and his high school buddies. And of course, Scoot had a very, very solid first year with the Ignite. We discuss all of that. But before we get to all of that, a quick reminder: please rate, review, subscribe to the crossover wherever you get your podcasts, and hit me with all your feedback on Twitter at Howard Beck. Okay, my conversation with Scoot Henderson, followed by my chat with the Antetokounmpo family, is all coming up next, so stick around.
This is The Crossover, an NBA show hosted by Sports Illustrated's Chris Mannix and Howard Beck.
It's a whole new level for you and me, Chris, this relationship.
Like and subscribe for the best weekly NBA content these two are capable of.
What does that mean?
Could be the best duo ever.
I don't see how you can beat that.
Here they are, Chris Mannix and Howard Beck.
Now, pleased to be joined in person at an undisclosed location in Midtown Manhattan. Scoot Henderson. Scoot, how are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you, Howard?
I'm doing great, man. It's great to see you again. We haven't had a chance to really chat since last September when I visited you in Walnut Creek. It's been that long.
Ooh.
Yeah, I somehow missed all of your G League Ignite games. I'm sorry.
It's all good.
but yeah, that was the last time we got a chance to chat before your season had even started. I was, of course, working on the story on you at the time, and a lot has, of course, happened in your world since then. Real quick rundown. So first season, of course, with the Ignite as the youngest member of the Ignite ever. Solid numbers across the board. You averaged 14 points a game, almost 5 rebounds, 3.7 assists. Played in the Rising Stars Challenge at All-Star Weekend. That was a big deal. You turned 18 along the way. Happy belated birthday. Signed a massive shoe deal with Puma, which we'll talk about a little. Cast in a movie about LeBron James and his high school crowd from Akron. That's very cool. We definitely got to talk about that. But of course, the thing I'm most curious about since I last saw you, have you gotten your driver's license?
Yes. I've got my driver's license once I got back home, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when I had it. I was like, nah, I can't do this anymore. I got to get my license. My dad got me a car a minute ago. So.
Oh, nice.
But he said I can't drive it no more.
Why is that?
It's too flashy.
Can you say what it is?
It's a Challenger.
It's a Challenger. Decided that's too flashy. Was that with you in the Bay Area or back home in Georgia?
It's only in Georgia.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. So do you have a car in the Bay Area?
I have a preference. No, I don't have a car in the Bay Area.
You're not driving around at all?
Nah. There's no reason to.
Your brother CJ driving you around? Or?
Not even. No. I go to work, which is the gym, and then I go back home.
So your routine has not changed since I last talked to you. You were just all about the gym or your home, probably reading books,
yep.
Playing NBA 2K.
Yep.
That much has not changed.
Not that much has changed other than me probably just going to the store.
Yeah.
That's probably it.
You've explored all the wonders of Walnut Creek, California.
No. No, a little bit, yeah, for sure.
How you feel about your first season with the Ignite? I mean, I mentioned the numbers. Everything I heard from scouts across the board during the course of the season was, yeah, this kid's legit. He's going to be the top point guard in the 2023 draft. He's definitely going to be one of the top players taken off the board, period, in 2023. Like, all of the chatter about you has been really strong. How did you feel about your own game at that level for the first time?
I feel like my first season, it was a great experience to just, you know, to see what the pro level is like in general. You know, many ups and downs in the season. You know, I feel like I could have done better just because I hold myself to a very high standard. Although I was young, or still am young, but I feel like, you know, those areas where I need to get better at. So I feel like this first season was very good.
I mean, for my development
at least.
Yeah, which was the whole point of the exercise,
exactly.
Right? You left high school, for people who don't recall, you left high school a year early as a junior, skipped your senior year. So this would have been your senior year of high school at Kell High School in Georgia. Instead, you're playing against pros. And, you know, the G League, in addition to guys at your level with the Ignite who are younger pre-draft, there's also a lot of guys in their 20s and 30s who are vets. So what, describe to me the difference between, like, your last high school game in Atlanta versus what the level of competition, speed, athleticism, physicality, whatever it was, like, what struck you most about this change in competition level?
I feel like the speed of the game of my last high school game, the championship game, and then my first pro game, it was a little different. I can't recall exactly how it was different, but I feel like it was just really the pace of the game, you know, especially guarding, for sure. I feel like guarding was probably one of the things that was different, you know. Just defending the ball, because, you know, they're great. They're just as good as, you know, I don't want to say just as good as me, because, you know, I feel like I'm better whoever's in front of me. But I feel like they're, you know, they're great players. So I'm not playing against no high schoolers. I'm playing against a professional athlete. He's worked his whole life. You know, he's trying to get in the NBA. So I feel like just guarding the ball, and the pace was totally different. It was totally different. You know, I got tired real quick in some of the games. You know, first up and down, I'm like, ooh, catch my breath. Luckily, it was a free throw. But, you know, I feel like it was faster. Of course, bigger, though. So,
yeah.
You know, I wasn't, you know.
I guess it's basically just that, like, you know, you are an elite athlete, obviously. And so in your peer group at the high school level, there's probably no one who can blow by you, or it's going to be very rare for you to find somebody who's as athletic, as explosive as you. I'm guessing at the G League level, even, probably everyone is right around that same
exactly,
level.
Exactly. I want to say the same level, but definitely more explosive than who I've been guarding.
Yeah.
For sure.
Anybody get you good?
Couple players got me good, just right past me. I'll say Miles, the Charge. Those players, they were tough guards. Tough guards. I think his name Newman. Not Newman. I think something.
I'll have to look it up later.
Yeah, he's a tough guard for sure.
What was your best moment, you think, of the season? Was there a particular game or a particular moment where things all just kind of fell into place and you were like, okay, I got it. This is, you know, I'm good here.
I feel like that was probably one of the first games that I've played, you know, where I was just clicking on all cylinders. You know, I was paying attention to what's going on in the game. You know, I was just locked in. I feel like that was the whole season, really. But those first few games, I was, you know, that was probably my best, you know, best games in general.
Which parts, Scoot, do you think came easier and which parts are harder in terms of adapting there? So, like, you know, whether it's the scoring, defending, passing, like just all the elements of the game that you value and that you're going to be obviously expected to play at a high level in the NBA eventually. Like when you got to the G League and you're trying to kind of figure out the pace and the different intensity level, the different physicality, like we were talking about, everybody's at a certain floor athletically. Yeah. Like, which things were the hardest to adapt to or ratchet your game up to match?
I feel like the hardest on court was definitely I want to say just playing off ball. You know, I played on ball my whole life. I've always had the ball in my hand. Even though I was a guard, it was still plays where I would be off ball and, you know, I would have to move. You know, coach is telling me to move without the ball. So I feel like that was one of the most difficult things that I had to adapt to in the first few games. But I feel like I've gotten better at it, you know. Also the defending, like I've said, just especially like playing the two guard, you know, defending the 6'6" wing, you know, just simple stuff like that could be very challenging.
Yeah. Have you grown since I last saw you? Are you still around 6'3"?
I was around like 6'2". So, but I think I'm like 6'3" now. I'm 6'3" with shoes.
No, you're probably still growing, right?
Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah. So I looked. I hate to bring up the percentages, but 50% from two, which I'm going to think means I haven't looked at the shot charts. Yeah. I'm guessing you got to the rack a lot. Like,
yeah.
You still like that's your game a lot, right? Yeah. You're going to get past guys. You're going to take it to the hoop. So I'm going to guess a lot of that was there. The 3-point shooting lagging a little bit. 17% on your threes. I saw you when I first visited you about a year ago at this time, actually, at your family's gym. And I saw you shooting like deep threes, like 30-foot threes, Steph Curry threes.
Yeah.
So I know you've got the range.
I feel like that part was just straight confidence in me just actually shooting the ball. You know, I didn't shoot the ball because my confidence was low on whether I thought I could make it or not. But I feel I've gotten way better at that. That's all I've been working on in the offseason. So I feel like this year is definitely going to go up a few notches, a ton of the notches, actually.
That's a big priority for you?
For sure.
Is that something, so I don't know, like, what's the kind of feedback, whether it's from your coaches at the G League Ignite or whether, I don't know how much, you know, at the NBA level, the league, because obviously they have a vested interest in seeing everybody from the Ignite thrive and become high draft picks. That's the whole point of the program. Are you getting feedback about, like, this is what you're going to need to do to ensure, like, we know you're going to be a high pick next year, but these are the things that are going to make it a lock or that you're going to need on day one when you get to the league?
Yeah, I feel like they know and I know myself that all it is repetition. So I don't think it's really too much somebody could tell me other than, you know, just stay in the gym and continue to work.
Yeah.
And just believing in my shot, really.
Yeah.
I didn't take many threes. That's why I was so low, obviously. But I feel like that could go up this year.
Yeah.
Next year.
No, I mean, and the shooting is one element, obviously, for any guard in this era of the NBA, right? Like, everybody's got to be able to shoot for the most part. But I just mean, like beyond that, like, are there other things where you're hearing from them saying, like, you know what, whether it's, you know, tighten your handle or strengthen your offhand or whatever?
It'd definitely be just using my eyes and being more of a director of the offense, being a true point guard, because I feel like that's what I'm going to be playing most of the time. Obviously, I'm going to score the ball, you know, do what I do. But I feel like in that area, I feel like I could definitely thrive and, you know, be a dominant threat at, for sure.
Yeah. Do you like the, having played off the ball a little bit too with the Ignite, just to have that, that skill set of being able to work at both guard spots?
Yeah, I love playing off the ball. Just getting open dunks, open layups, open back doors, just open threes. You know, it's, especially when you have a point guard like Jaden that creates, Jaden and Dyson that create, you know, people to come to them, to like a two,
yeah,
like a double team or something, you know. So I'd be open most of the time when I'm playing a two guard or and then off the and an on ball, I feel like I can thrive at that as well. So
when you and I talked last summer, it was a lot about like, okay, you chose the G League Ignite because a bunch of different advantages to it or certain allures to it, and developing under an NBA system and everything was all a big part of that. Now that you've gone through it for the year, you know, you had international options that you passed up. There was the Overtime Elite program. They had recruited you. You had all these different possibilities. You chose this program. After one season, are you feeling like you got what you wanted out of that? You've got another year to go, but so far, does this feel like what you had in mind?
It feels like this is what I wanted, honestly, just to, you know, being able to travel, you know, basketball to take you places that you've never been. So I just feel like it's more than I expected, honestly. You know, traveling can take a toll off your body, but that's kind of what I expected as well. So I don't think it was anything where I'm like, man, it's tough. Other than, you know, we lost a few games. That was tough. But other than that, nah, it's almost what I expected.
You said you got to take you, basketball took you to some new places. Aside from beautiful downtown Walnut Creek, California, where did you guys go over the course of the season? Like, what was a cool spot you got to see for the first time?
Cool spot, New York. My first time being here was when we came here. And then Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Iowa. Yeah.
They drive on the wrong side of the road, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think they drive on the left side. I don't know if that was that street, but I seen a car driving this way on the left side, another car on the right of us driving towards us.
I mean, it's out in the country, so maybe they're just making their own rules as they go. I don't know. Wow.
But it was pretty cool.
I might have driven through Iowa on a cross country drive or something, but I don't know. I'm gonna have to go look up the rules of the road there. That's sounding a little suspect, Iowa. I don't know what you're doing out there.
I thought too, but hey. The arena was on the left side, and we was right there, and we took a left into it. So I'm like, all right.
And you mentioned New York, which is where we are now. I should mention you're here now because the NBA is putting you to work. They've done this a few times, it seems like, over the course of your time in the Ignite program so far. So by the time this airs on Friday, you'll have done a lot of that. So I know that part of that is going to be you're going to be doing some social media stuff for them. I think, are you interviewing some of the draft prospects at the draft?
Yeah, I think I'm going to be interviewing all of them, whoever's out there, honestly. Just some funny questions, some cool stuff to ask. Then obviously I'm going to want to ask some real questions, but this is going to be a fun little day today. This is the day, so.
Yeah. Oh, you're doing that today after we get done. And then at the draft itself, do you just get to chill and like be a fan and hang out, or are you working on draft night as well?
I get to go on the red carpet.
Nice.
And then I think I'm just chilling after that. I don't know if I ask questions later on, but I think I'm just chilling after that. You know, I don't know. Whatever they tell me, I'll see if I can do it. If it's fun, then I'm gonna do it.
You got an outfit picked out for the red carpet?
Of course, I got an outfit picked out.
Does the NBA help you with that, or did like I remember one of your sisters was Onyx,
China.
No, China was the fashion consultant in the family. So who's did they kind of set you up, or
it was the Nakia actually the G League. I think it was Sharif and them, but Nakia, they took us to Indochino.
Okay.
Indochino. In California. I think it was in San Fran. Yeah. But we went there, we got us a suit, and mine came in not too long ago, last month or so. So I think I'm going to wear that.
Nice. And your parents are here, and they were saying you guys are going to spend the weekend. Is this the first time you get to do like some New York sightseeing? You got anything specific?
I did New York sightseeing the first time I was out there. Actually with Earn and Pete and Anthony.
Okay.
I don't know if I can say it.
That's all right. You didn't use those names.
Yeah. We went to the park,
Central Park?
Central Park. And we've seen, that park is huge, actually, but we've seen the lake. But it was cold, though, so it wasn't cool. But
oh, it was winter. Okay.
Yeah, it was freezing.
No Statue of Liberty, Empire State Building, that stuff?
Nah, I didn't see the Statue of Liberty. That's one thing that I need that I want to see.
Maybe this weekend?
Yeah, most likely.
So you're here for the draft, but not your draft. You are still a year away. What's it like kind of like milling about in this, you know, we're at the hotel where all the draft prospects are staying. You're talking, I don't know how many of these guys you knew beforehand that you're going to be interviewing on the NBA's behalf, but like, can you feel like just that nervous excitement, that energy in the air? And are you feeling a little bit yourself knowing that this is you in a year?
I could definitely feel that nervous energy in the air, just seeing those players, you know, they're proud to be here. So I just see that nervousness almost for the big day on Thursday, but I feel like it's going to be a good week for them, for those guys, and just to have that feeling.
You feel like that'll, you know, for you a year from now, maybe you'll be a little less anxious because, like, you'll have seen and been in this environment. Like, you'll have walked the red carpet. You'll have seen the green room. You'll have, like, you'll be an old pro.
Yeah, for me next year, I think it'll be the same thing as those guys, honestly. Yeah. Just because I'm not in it right now, I don't think I'm paying attention to, like, the moment right now.
Yeah.
I'm just I'm outside looking in. So next year I'm going to be inside looking out, hopefully.
Is your mind wandering forward a little bit? Like, are you envisioning, like, okay, this is...
Not even.
No?
I'm just in the moment right now. Just proud of my teammates, honestly.
How did you get cast in Shooting Stars? This is the movie that's coming about LeBron James and his high school teammates. I know that Caleb McLaughlin from Stranger Things is going to be in that. I don't know when this starts filming, but like, tell me about like how did you end up in this film?
Honestly, my dad met the director at a basketball camp because the director was finding a LeBron or a Romeo to play the role. So they somehow met through somebody else, and then you know, he just told me to come audition in L.A. So I went. It was my first time auditioning, so I just went and we played basketball a little bit. Obviously, I was one of the best prospects there, but and then we auditioned on the acting side, and I think I did pretty good. So I got the role, and you know, I was just blessed to be a part of that whole situation. Honestly, it was one of one for sure. You know, not many people just meet the whole director of the LeBron movie at a basketball camp. You know, and luckily my dad was there. You know, my dad's the perfect person to meet at that point. So
Your dad very outgoing, obviously.
Yeah.
So I could see him meeting pretty much everybody in a gym on any given day. So it was just kind of happenstance, it sounds like.
Literally, it wasn't planned or anything. The only thing that was planned was me going to LA.
Huh.
Yeah.
Is speaking part?
Speaking part.
How many lines you got?
About like, I want to say about 40 or 30, seven or something like that.
And have you guys already filmed, or are you still just in rehearsal?
No, we finished.
You finished?
Yeah.
Okay. How'd you do?
I feel like I did pretty good.
Yeah?
You know, I feel like acting always been in me. Just me and my siblings be goofing around. Like, we'll be making serious faces or we'll fake cry. Like, just silly stuff like that me and my siblings do. So I feel like, I don't think it's in me, but, you know, I've kind of built that up. Just having those, especially my castmates, you know. Caleb, he's a great actor. One of the other castmates, great actor. You know, it was a few castmates on there that's been acting and that's really into it. So, you know, they helped me as well.
Had you done anything like that before?
Only thing I've done like that was probably the commercial that I did with the rebranding of Ignite.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no, like school plays or something like that. Or like that. So this is new.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds like a blast. Is there one line that you remember you could like give? You could like deliver us one? Out of context, so that nobody will have any spoilers.
Yeah, let me think. Look, that's all I'm gonna say.
Just
that's
look.
All I'm saying, because that's one of the biggest scenes in there. So I can't.
Right,
I should say look.
All right, I should have asked. Like, so who are you playing? Are you one of LeBron's teammates or an opponent? What's your
one of his teammates?
Okay, can you say who?
I don't know if I can say who. So
okay.
All right,
when's it coming out?
Next year. Sometime next year. It should come out pretty fast. It should only be like a hour and a half movie or something like that. So it shouldn't.
Yeah.
But I feel like we've done a lot of work to where, you know, it'd be a tough time editing and a good time editing. It was a lot of stuff.
Yeah. No, that sounds like a blast. And plus, like, just the, like, of all the things to make your acting debut in, movie about like
perfect
LeBron.
Yeah, it was great. It was
I assume great. there was a fair amount of you playing basketball in the movie as well.
A lot of basketball. Yeah, I think it said it was the most basketball scenes ever in a basketball movie.
Really,
most basketball movies only have about like how many like five games, maybe three.
Yeah,
three games, maybe five. So in that game, this movie had a ton of them. So
I just watched the movie about Giannis and his family, Rise.
That's oh, I coming gotta watch to a, that, yeah.
Yeah, it's actually not out yet. I got a screener, but that's coming on, I think, Disney Plus or whatever. So that was pretty cool. And the basketball scenes in there were kind of limited, but they looked legit.
Right, right.
The actors looked like they knew what they were doing. So the other big thing, of course, just within the last couple of weeks, you signed a big deal with Puma. They're obviously kind of on the rise and really making a big push into basketball over the last couple of years, signed a lot of big names. What was it about Puma that attracted you maybe more than Nike, Adidas, and I'm sure every other shoe company on earth that probably was knocking on your door?
I chose Puma because, you know, first and foremost, they're family oriented. That's the vibe that I got every time I met them. And we just created a great bond and a great relationship more than whoever was recruiting me, obviously. And then, you know, they knew it was no ceiling to my game. So I feel like, and they're going to let me, you know, create whatever I want as of like fashion and shoes and all that. And they can just, they let me use my creativity, and they use that as an advantage of the whole brand. And I feel like we're going to take this partnership and go and blast off, really.
This kind of feels like a kind of consistent approach for you and your family, right? Like the G League Ignite, like nobody had ever gone to the G League Ignite as like a high school senior basically, or pre-senior season, whatever. And the Ignite was still very new, and you were like bold enough to say, you know what, like I'm going to go plant my flag there instead of one of these other possibilities overseas or colleges. And like Puma, kind of like similar thing, right? Like they're a little bit more, not necessarily the outsider. Puma's been around forever, but in the NBA space or basketball space, still kind of newer. Seems like that.
Yeah, just
that
around
kind of,
like 2017, 2018, where they came out with one of their first shoes, their first basketball shoes. One of those. But
it seems like that kind of fits. Like you kind of like choosing like a little bit of the different path or the slightly outside path.
Yeah, I feel like I've always been. My mom always told me to be like kind of odd and never be a follower. So I feel like I took that to a whole different level, just based off my journey and the way that I want to go about it.
Yeah. And the NBA has been using you in a lot of stuff too. Like I think there was like the G League Ignite rebrand from a little while back, and you were like in all the tweets and everything else. Like, what's it like kind of getting pushed out front, like kind of embracing that face of the league a little bit?
I feel like I'm gonna live up to it for sure. I mean, I've been working, but it feels pretty normal to me right now. I don't really, not that I pay attention to it. I mean, of course I pay attention to it. I got a phone, but you know, I'm not a huge fan of just all on Twitter, Instagram, just watching it. But, you know, I feel like it's going to be pretty good.
A couple more before I let you get going, because I know Mara Rudolph, NBA PR ace, is here. G League Ignite PR ace is here. I know she's got a bunch of stuff to get you to. A lot of work to do today.
Shout out Mara. Shout out Nakia. Shout out Mo. Shout out my whole family. Shout out AJ.
Jonathan Kuminga, G League Ignite grad, got to go to the finals, of course, winning a ring. And Jalen Green had a strong rookie season. Were you in touch with those guys at all over the course of the year about their transition from going from the G League to NBA?
Not too much. Just, you know, I would watch them a lot on TV. You know, I would key into them and see what they're doing. And I just want to say congrats to Jonathan right now on that first G League Ignite player to ever win a ring, and one of the youngest to ever win a ring. So that's pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. And he had some nice moments. I mean, not in, obviously the finals, he didn't get a chance, but like in the course of the season.
Yeah, he
like,
had some great moments.
Yeah.
Great first season for sure.
He's got a great future ahead. You're also tight with Jaylen Brown, of course, who was unfortunately on the losing side. You guys, buddies from back in Atlanta. I know you were at game six. Did you and Jaylen Brown get a chance to chat at least over the course of whether it was over the season during the postseason? Probably not. Finals are obviously insanely busy and all that, but like what's the conversation with him been like
in season? It was probably just, you know, us just chopping it up, saying we're gonna link up when the season's over. You know, it was a lot going on, so you know, I didn't want to bug him, he didn't want to bug me type of vibe. So it was just we had mutual respect for each other and just we knew we was going to link up when we get back home. So,
what was that? Was that your first finals game, game six?
Yes, first finals game, and that atmosphere was crazy.
Yeah,
it felt like I was going to check in.
You were ready. You were ready.
I was ready. I had my shorts on.
What's it like being at the finals for the first time? And not just like, I remember like, all right, I'm at the finals for the first time as a reporter 1,000 years ago. And like, just the vibe is intense and it's different and you feel it. And there's a nervous energy even for me, just like, yeah. I know I've got to write and I want to write my best at the finals, just like players want to play their best, right? But you are sitting there as an 18-year-old who's a year away from the draft with obviously those kind of goals in mind. And you're in that environment for the first time. So how does it hit you, and what is it, you know, what do you leave there feeling?
Yeah, it hit me once I walked in the building, honestly. I seen those people checking their bags, just small stuff like that just gets me amped up, honestly, just ready for the game. And like I said, it just made me want to play, made me want to go out there, and, you know, I wouldn't say help, but it made me want to go out there and play, playing that game specifically, just because it was game six, win or go home, it was a great atmosphere. But then after just leaving, it just made me work, made me go harder, honestly. That was my mindset after that game, because seeing those guys, see how skilled they were, like Steph Curry, just Marcus Smart, all those guys, Jason, obviously JB, you know, seeing how skilled they were, I'm like, I got work to do for sure. So it just made me go harder, 10 times harder.
Did you stay for the ceremony, the championship trophy? No. You were out of there.
Yeah, I had to. It was hectic. It was going to get hectic, so I didn't want to.
It does get hectic.
Luckily, it wasn't too crazy, but people were, you know, they were intoxicated and, you know, mad, so
no.
I didn't want to get in between that.
Never. Not in Boston.
Nah, exactly. Boston.
Hey, yeah. I will say, like, a fair number of Boston fans still in their Celtics jerseys actually hung out for the trophy ceremony and were, like, paying their respects, so that was cool. So
I feel like it was a respect thing that game, because it wasn't so crazy. I don't know how Boston fans act. That was my first time being in Boston, but, well, for the Celtics game. But,
yeah,
you know, I've heard plenty of stories, but I feel like they kind of respected it, because I don't think you can't respect that, honestly. You know, fourth ring, Curry was going crazy. Draymond, you know, they played great, so.
Yeah. No, games 3 and 4, I think, were maybe a little bit more, bombastic in the stands than 6. I think 6, they kind of just saw this thing slipping away and said,
right.
just got to give it up at that point. Yeah. Cool. Well, Scoot, this has been great, man. I'm glad we got a chance to reconnect. Congrats on everything so far. I guess last thing, what's the goals for season 2? I mean, it's going to be, you got a few months here to spend the summer training. I don't know if you head back to Atlanta, go back to the family gym and hang out for a bit, recuperate. But what do you think about going into season 2 of the Ignite?
I feel like right now I'm overly confident right now. And I'm overly just ready to dominate next season. And that's on the court and off the court, you know. Just meet who I want to meet all the people that I want to invest my time into, and people that want to invest their time into me, and then just dominate whoever's in front of me. I feel like that's the goal for next season.
Sounds great. I look forward to seeing that. I got to catch a G League Ignite game in person next season. I was remiss this past season, but I got to get out there.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Scoot. And I'm now pleased to be joined by the Adetokumbo family, Alex, Kostas, Thanasis, Giannis, and Veronica. I feel like I'm the host of Family Feud, a fine American game show. I want to start with Veronica. By the way, I watched the film. It is wonderful, just very moving. And I want to start with you, Veronica, because on every level, you made this all possible. This is, of course, an inspiring story of your family, not just Giannis's journey, but all of you. But it's obviously a very difficult one, too, and a lot of very personal moments. So how did you feel about telling this story and seeing it brought to life in this way?
We feel so proud of telling our story being told. I feel so proud of our journey, coming all the way from Nigeria to Greece, struggling without losing hope, without giving up, with humbleness, with love, continue moving. Then we are happy where we are now today.
I imagine this was also very emotional for all of you, seeing it for the first time. Thanasis, maybe I'll start with you on that. What was it like for you just emotionally seeing your life retold this way?
It was definitely emotional, but you know, I just remember how much I love my family, you know, and how much my mom and dad did for us, plus be able to be here, you know. It's and you know, I feel inspired and motivated, you know, to do all these things. So that's basically it.
Giannis, how well do you think they captured your family dynamic? Obviously, you were an executive producer. Some of your family members are consultants, so I'm sure you guys got a chance to kind of guide this a little bit along the way. But how true to life are the viewers seeing of your family dynamics, the way you guys interact with each other?
They did an unbelievable job. And the cast that played us, they did unbelievable job. We just had the opportunity to meet them, and we found out that the people that played me and Tanas were actually, you know, brothers. And you know, the chemistry in real life, it's like me and Tanas, which is kind of like scary. But what we wanted from the start is we want this movie to be authentic as possible, because that's who we are as people. You know, to show them that we, no matter what we face in and the challenges we face, you know, when we were in Greece, we never gave up. We never lost faith. We were always together. We always, you know, come together as a family and try to figure out a way to find a solution, you know. I've said this in the past that, you know, in our case, our tool was basketball. We were good in basketball. But in so many other people around the world, they might have a different tool. They might be good in something else, you know. So, you know, whatever they're good at, they always should, like, give everything they have and try to be the best version of themselves, like we were, you know, back in the day. But, you know, having the opportunity to watch the movie and kind of see that in the screen, which you have like kind of a lot of different emotions. You're excited, you know, you're emotional. But at the end of the day, I think they did a great job just capturing like the authenticity of our family. You know, and obviously you cannot put 27 years in from a month. You know, I cannot say how many years, but, you know, in 2 hour movie, you know, you got to kind of choose the parts that you want in, and I think we did a great job just delivering the message that we wanted to get across to the viewers. Disney did an unbelievable, Disney in partnership with us, you know, let's take the credit too, they did an unbelievable job.
I'm curious about the message. There's many messages in here, and it is a heartwarming story just about the way your family pulled together, stayed together, rooting for each other along the way. Alex, maybe I'll ask you to chime in on this. When you see this, what messages are you seeing about your family, or what are the things that you thought, you know what, I'm really glad that the world can learn from these aspects of our family dynamic? What's the message that you want to see people take away?
As I said, time and time again, like the most important like aspect for people to take away is definitely togetherness and our brotherhood. You know, the us always being together, you know, through thick and thin and through all type of struggle and all type of hardship, you know, just sticking with each other and just picking each other up when each other is down. And I also think that just never give up, you know, being humble, being disciplined. And being able to show up every day and give it your all. And I feel as if from that movie you can take those things and it can translate into your life, I feel like that it's going to take you a step further.
What was the most emotional moment for you, Alex? I'm curious about it for everybody. Just you know, which scenes kind of really tug at you? So, Alex, what was that for you?
The most emotional, I think that when I watched the movie personally, just the first scenes, I don't want to give any spoilers, and the scenes I had to do with my parents, I definitely had to like pause sometimes, come back to it, and when it got a bit too much for me, I had to step away and step back into watching the movie. But I just I felt so good after I watched it, you know, and I just hope that if the way I felt, if the people watching the movie felt half as much emotion, I felt like we were going to be in a very good spot.
I agree. Kostas, what about for you? What was the most emotional moment?
The most emotional scene, I probably said the same as Alex, you know, it's some scenes in the beginning of the movie with my mom and my dad, which are, you know, those are like before we even born, like moments of that night before we even born. So it's kind of hard to see like your parents, you know, go through that hardship. So it's kind of tough for me to see that. But like he said, at the end of the day, like when you watch the end of it, you watch the whole story, like just warms you inside. You just feel so good that like it's a happily ever after type thing, you know. It's a great story. So, yeah.
Okay, most of this film is about the family and the family dynamic and your journey, but there is some basketball in here. Thanasis, how well did they do on the basketball?
They do quite accurate. I think like the actors are like the people who play us, they actually got some move to them too. Like, and then I heard, you know, we're talking about this, said that I was actually practicing Giannis's move, Eurostep, and you know, and how we play when we're younger. We both played like the point to two to three, like we always used to play that when we was younger. But I mean, and the scenes, I don't want to give away the spoilers, but like they were on point. Really good.
Yeah. Did you guys give them some pointers along the way? Were you on set at all when they were filming? Giannis Thanasis, did you guys do anything with them?
No, because they actually filmed like 6 months in Greece. We were playing. They were in Greece. Like the stuff you see, it's not studio. Like they were 6 months in Greece shooting all this stuff, like the views and this and the gym. Like the gym you see that we're working out is actually the gym we played.
Wow. And,
yeah. You know, wow. And even the scene that you see after the my dad, we're working out like this where exactly like we lived, like this is exactly anyway, and this house, the house we like it's filming and we're all there, it's next door to the house we lived in.
Wow.
It's that much.
I want you to realize like how much we want to stay true to our roots, you know, and how I felt we wanted to make this movie feel. You know, going back, I wanted to add to the scenes that made me emotional. We can talk about the scene that we were, you know, young and we were being chased by. Can we? I'm giving spoilers.
Right? No.
I should not. There were a lot of them. I should not give spoilers. That was kind of hard to watch, but at the end of the day, you know, it's hard because people don't understand. Like when you know your journey, you know what you've been through, but once they put it on the screen for you to see, you're like, oh man, I'm going back there. You know, which is good, but at the same time, it's kind of tough.
Yeah. I'm told we need to wrap, but I want to end on this one just for you, Giannis, and we are short on time, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask just one quick question about the present. You've had some time to recover from and process the playoffs and how the season ended. What's one thing you have in mind about what you and the Bucks need to do to get back up to the to that peak, the success you had of a year ago?
I don't know. And right now, I don't really want to talk about the backs because, like, I feel like my family, we have, you know, this day, and it's one day a year that we talk about, like, our family and our movie and what we're trying to accomplish. So I don't really want to talk about, you know, the sure. NBA now and the Bucks. But if you ask me in a week from now, I'm glad to answer that question.
Absolutely. Hope to catch up later. Thank you, everybody. Again, the film was wonderful. Appreciate you all joining us here today and wishing you all the best.
Thank you.
Okay, that's it for today's show. My thanks again to Scoot Henderson, and thanks to NBA PR ace Mara Rudolph for connecting us again. My thanks to Giannis Antetokounmpo and his family, and to veteran PR ace Jeff Pomeroy for setting that up. Thanks, as always, to our producer, Shelby Royston. Thank you all, as always, for listening. Remember, you can hear Chris Mannix and me every Tuesday on The Crossover with all the latest NBA chatter. And then on Fridays, it's me and a guest. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to The Crossover wherever you get your podcasts. And hit me with all your feedback on Twitter, at Howard Beck.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.